John 10, verse number 9, Jesus made this statement, I am the door. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. We might ask the question, what's he the door unto? Because the door goes somewhere. Door opens up something, gets you access to something. I am the door, so he tells us what he's the door to. Really, first of all, he's the door to the Father. He's the way to the Father. Amen. But notice he gives us more specifics. By me, if any man enter in other words, come through me, come through this door, I'm the door, he shall be saved. So he's the door to salvation. He shall be saved and, circle and, saved and, shall go in and out and find pasture. Amen. Amen. Pasture represents the blessings of God. Yeah. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Remember that? He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah. I was looking at that the other day, by the way, before I go any further, Psalm 23. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I was looking at it the other day, and you know the word lie down actually means to sprawl. He makes me sprawl on green pastures. Now, I've been around cattle and animals and sheep and you know, different kind of four-legged creatures all my life, not so much in more recent life, but I've had enough in my farm days to last me for the millennium. Most of the time, cattle and sheep and, you know, he's talking here about sheep. He calls us sheep. But most of the time, whenever they lie down, they put their legs underneath them and they just kind of plunk down on their bellies, you know. But sprawl means kind of lay over on your side and your feet are hanging out over here, you know.
I like that.
And most animals don't do that very often. I was in the deer woods about a month ago or whatever it was. What's today? The 15th? Yeah, it was more than a month ago. And I had experienced most biologists don't even get to experience this. I mean, deer biologists don't even get to experience it. I saw a deer lay down, he wasn't a shooter buck, but he was only about 30 yards away from me, 28. I believe he was 28 yards. You know, you got 28. He just came through, and he walked over there about 28 yards and laid down. And most deer don't close their eyes. They sleep with their eyes open most of the time. I don't know if you knew that. Cows, you don't see them close their eyes very much. But anyway, to make a long story longer, he laid there and got real comfortable. Most deer don't get real comfortable. And he kind of rolled over on his side and was a little, he wasn't completely sprawled, but he's sort of, his head sort of laying there. I'm thinking, most biologists don't even see this because deer don't sleep much. They sleep about 30 minutes. Sometimes they'll put their heads down. Anyway, that's not necessary for you to know, but it's pretty cool. But that deer, they don't do that because they're prey, and they got to watch out for predators. Deer literally can sleep with their eyes open. I know you didn't know that, and I know you didn't come to church to find that out. But the point I'm making is, he shall make us to lie down in green pasture. A sheep that's lying down has no fear. He has completely abandoned himself. Amen. Because he's safe. He's safe. I mean, and so he's saying basically there's a pasture that is a full supply. There's more than just salvation in Jesus. Jesus is the door to the Father. He's the door to salvation. But he's the door to such supply that you find yourself sprawling.
Yeah.
Just totally abandoning yourself. You're safe. See, you thought I forgot what I was preaching about, didn't you? Tell your neighbor you need to start sprawling some more. Yeah, if you were a prey, which by the way, the Bible likens us to sheep and Satan as the wolf. So in one sense, we are prey. We're not, you know, victims because Jesus delivered us from the wolf and the lion and all the things that Satan is described as. But praise the Lord, I'm getting blessed out of this. So whenever you are abandoning yourself, you're safe. You just know you're safe and you know you have a full supply. That's what that means. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to sprawl. just totally abandoning myself. I'm safe because the shepherd's watching over me. Things might appear in my life that says, what are you going to do? You need to get worried. And we just, chew our cud. Chew our cud. You know what I'm talking about? I'm about to get happy. I don't know about you. So anyway, the Lord is our shepherd, and he's a doorway to all these blessings. Now come over to the 14th chapter of John, the sixth verse, John 14, verse number 6. Jesus made this statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So you can see here, obviously, he's the doorway or the door to the Father. He says the door in one passage here. He says the way. Both of them are very similar terms. A door gives you access to another room, you know, and it's the way into that room. So he says, I am the door. And then he says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not just a way. I am the way. The way. Amen. Say the way. And so you remember on, let's go over, in fact, this morning again, back to the book of Revelation, chapter number, chapter number four, Revelation chapter four on Wednesday night. We basically started this talking about verses 1 and 2, Revelation 4, 1 and 2. John is on the Isle of Patmos for being persecuted for preaching the gospel. And it says, I looked and behold, and a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. I believe that was Jesus. This voice like a trumpet. Come up hither, because you read his voice in other places, it sounds like a trumpet. Come up hither, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And then he describes in detail what he saw and the revelation he got. But I wanted you to see this term in verse 1. He said, a door was opened in heaven. A door was opened in heaven. And then he said in verse 2, immediately I was in the Spirit. So think about this. Jesus is the way to the Father. He's the way to salvation. He's the way to all these blessings of God, isn't he? Yes, sir. He's the door to all these things. But where are all those things? They're in the spirit realm. You notice it says here, he said, a door was open and I immediately was in the Spirit. Amen. Ephesians 1:3, just giving a few verses to get this started here this morning. Ephesians 1:3 says, he's blessed us. God has blessed us, has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings, not just salvation, all spiritual blessings. Now notice the next phrase, in heavenly places in Christ. In heavenly places. That term is used throughout the New Testament as well, heavenly places. He's not talking about natural places, physical places. He's not talking about a natural door or a physical path, a natural path. He's talking about something in the spirit realm, which we as Christians must learn to navigate in. There are rooms in that realm. There are doors in that realm. There are paths in that realm. There are resources. There are blessings. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, some people read that and they say, well, that's just spiritual blessings. That's not anything natural. Well, I mean, don't display your ignorance of the Bible too much in public like that. Because the Bible says, for example, how many of you know the Bible says a lot of things. I got to watch, take too much time on this. But you remember the Bible said that the godliness has promise of the life that now is and of the life which is to come. There's blessings for down here. And not just spiritual blessings, because he talks about it in different places. For example, in Deuteronomy 8:18, it's he that gives thee power to get wealth that he might establish his covenant. That's Holy Spirit power. That's God's power. And it's from the spirit realm, but it comes on things in the natural realm to bless what you put your hand to in the natural realm for natural blessings. Same thing true with the healing power of God. Amen. It comes out of the spiritual realm. It is a spiritual blessing, meaning it is from the Holy Spirit. It is from God's Spirit. But it does something for you in the natural realm. I mean, we live in two realms. I mean, we operate in the natural realm, but we operate in the spiritual realm. And the thing about redemption is it opened up all that is in the spirit realm for us to go into, because Jesus opened the door, not just to salvation, but to everything that's in that realm. I don't know if you can grasp that fully right now, like we're all grasping it more and more. But right on the other hand, one translation of Ephesians 1:3 says that everything that heaven itself enjoys, he's already blessed us with. Well, I mean, angels, they're up in heaven, aren't they? No, they're down here on earth too. Also, they're in heaven, but they're down here on earth too. And they're given, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, that they are ministering spirits sent forth in the assistance of those who are heirs of salvation. They're available to you down here to help you right now, to guard you, to protect you, to help you fulfill the plan of God. They're in the spirit realm, but they help you in this realm. Amen. We've had testimonies. People sometimes have had accidents and there was something that didn't let them hit the steering wheel. Different stories, Hallelujah. So, but the thing I want you to see is that God, really through Jesus, did not just open the door to the Father. Now, don't misunderstand me. All of this is in the Father. But we need to think outside the box of not just fellowship. We're not just talking about fellowship with the Father, although that's the primary chief benefit. We're not just talking about a relationship with the Father, although that's the main benefit. But everything he has, we have access to. Amen. We're not outside wanting these things. We are in like Flynn. We got it. Notice Ephesians 1:3. He has blessed us. Not gonna. He has already blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. They're ours. They're the resources of the spirit realm to bless our lives down here in this natural realm. Can you say amen? Now, a key to tapping into them is learning to do what the Bible says, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Worship God in the Spirit. We're told to go into that realm. You understand, there is an unseen realm, invisible realm, where all these things are. People don't believe these things exist because they cannot see them. But that doesn't make them less real. That's where faith comes in. Or right here is where faith comes in. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now King James says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Things not seen. Not nothings that are not seen. Things. Things that are not seen. You know, if 2 Corinthians 4:18 actually, it talks about, while we look not at the things which are seen. We look not to things which are seen, but at the things that are not seen. I'm just letting that sink in. There are things that are not seen. Things and beings that are not seen. That doesn't make them less real. Well, they're not real to me, Pastor. Let me tell you why. The Amplified of Hebrews 11:1, King James says, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Amplified says, being faith perceiving. Pull it up there, Miss Ann. Perceiving as real that which is. Somebody got it over here? I heard somebody quoting it. Miss Ann's getting it for me. It says, talks about being the conviction of these unseen things reality. These unseen things reality. Here's one. Let me look at it in the Amplified. You ready? Faith is the assurance, the confidence, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. The proof of things we do not see. Look at this. The conviction of their reality. Well, they're not real to me. It's a faith issue. It's a faith issue. Faith is the conviction of their reality. Then he goes on. I like this last part. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. There are real things, real present tense facts in the unseen. You are blessed. You could look at the natural realm and say, I'm not. But in reality, and faith carries this reality, you are blessed. You are a blessed person. You are blessed with what? You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in that realm called heavenly places. Now, don't look at heavenly places like just up in heaven. Amen. One translation says, that the Amplified, I believe, maybe, in the Ephesians 1:3, it talks about he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Is it the Amplified? Somebody maybe can look it up. It says that these things are given to a Holy Spirit given blessings. Holy Spirit given blessings. Is that the Amplified? Given by the Holy Spirit blessings. Well, is the Holy Spirit just up in heaven? No, he's down here. He's down here. And you can walk in the Spirit and tap right into these blessings. Make use of what's there in that realm to benefit and enhance life in this realm. That's why faith is so important, because faith taps into the unseen and makes use of its resources to enhance life in this seen realm. Now, don't misunderstand me. It'll bless your life in the spirit realm too. I enjoy sweet fellowship with my Father because, listen, I have access to Him because of the door that's open in the Spirit. That's a spiritual blessing. It blesses my spirit. It edifies me. How many of you know the Bible talks about being edified, built up in your spirit, and so forth and so on? The Word of God is from that realm. It came from God Himself. It came from Jesus. It is the Word of God, but it's from another realm. And my spirit feeds on it. My spirit gets edified, built up in faith. But so there are spiritual blessings that stay in the spirit realm. Don't misunderstand me. But there are things that will happen in this natural realm as a result of learning to walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Well, that's kind of what we've been talking about. We started on Wednesday night. If we're not careful, we'll lose this revelation in the body of Christ. This revelation of in the Spirit. In the Spirit. The New Testament, the new way for believers to live in the New Testament is in the Spirit. Amen? I said it's in the Spirit. Now, this is something that former days, you know, we're full gospel people. We're tongue-talking people. We're, you know. But we have a heritage behind us that brought that revelation into our day. You know, they laid the foundation and men kept preaching it into our day. Well, they knew some things about being in the Spirit. That generation knew some things about it being in Spirit. But if we're not careful today, we'll lose this revelation. Amen. We must have Bible knowledge about it. We must, and that knowledge, by the way, comes through teaching the Word. And we must have Bible knowledge, but we must also have experiential knowledge. Amen. Of this place called in the Spirit. Experiential knowledge is much greater than head knowledge. If you don't believe that, just ask somebody that's not married about marriage. You'll find they don't know much about marriage. Amen. Y'all are quiet today. This subject of in the Spirit is important for us to understand. Amen. And so there's a realm that exists that is even more real than this seen realm. And faith is very conscious of it. Faith is very aware of it. In fact, all materiality came out of that realm. God said, let there be, and it was. It came out of God. It came out of, remember, somebody said, what do you mean? You're interchanging that realm with God. Remember, the Bible said God is a spirit. That's his realm. That's his homeland. Actually, that's your homeland as a born-again believer. Amen. That's your land of your citizenship. It's not the land of your current residency, but it is the land of your citizenship. Amen. The Bible talks about it in Philippians. Remember, it talks about our conversation is from above. You look up the word conversation, and literally in the margin of my Bible says citizenship. People say, Christians are people that are going to heaven. Now, let me rephrase that. Christians are people who are from heaven, and they will go to heaven. Their residency right now is not heaven, but they are from there. Amen. You know, I heard a missionary tell a story one time. She said she got married and they started having children. And they, not too long, I think maybe even before they went on the mission field, but if not, it was soon after they went on the mission field, they started having children. They had a couple girls. I think they only have two girls. I think you know who I'm talking about. But so far. But anyway, so they're on, right now I think they're in Australia. They've been to Italy as missionaries in different places. And I'll never forget this lady said, she said, because they're both, the mom and dad are both from the United States, citizens here in the United States. And they said, every now and then we bring our girls back because they're citizens. They were born, the girls were born here. I do remember they brought them home to be born. They're citizens of the United States. But they said they bring them back from time to time so that they don't get so accustomed to the land of their residency that they lose their connection to the land of their citizenship. And I thought, oh, that sounds like every believer. You and I have got to spend much time in the spirit realm or we'll lose our connection to the land of our citizenship and everything that's in there. All the blessings of God that are there. Amen. Because that doesn't seem maybe like it's hitting you like it should, let me go over some things that are there. Would that be all right? Let me just mention a few things and think about where they are. Would that be all right? You following me? The spirit realm is full of beings. Of course, the devil's in there too, but we're not interested in him. We'll just deal with him when he pops his head up. But it's full of beings. First of all, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. You know, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're in the spirit realm. You can't see them. Now, they could manifest themselves in this realm, but they're in the spirit realm. Then you've got angels, right? And then you've got, let's just say this. How about the armor of God? Put on the whole armor of God. Well, somebody said, I've been looking for that. Where is it? Should I go to a military store? No, it's in the spirit realm. You can literally have a helmet on your head protecting your head from the assaults of the enemy. And whenever it looks like if other people would be falling apart, you have peace that passes all understanding. Keeps your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. That is a spiritual piece of armor. You can't see it in the physical realm, but it is just as real. Amen. All the armor. How about the shield of faith? When thoughts come to you, you can take that shield up and say, no, it is written, and answer those thoughts that the enemy's trying to get you discouraged with or in unbelief with or in fear with. In fact, we're told to take up the shield of faith. That doesn't mean go home and pound out one out of a piece of steel or something. It's in the spirit realm. You take it up with your spirit, feeding on the Word of God, answering the thoughts of the enemy. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you cast that down and answer that. Amen. That's in the spirit realm. How many of you know I just mentioned the peace that passes all understanding? Yeah. That is supernatural. That is not natural. I mean, there's things I've gone through in life. If it wasn't for that peace, I'd have lost my mind. I mean, I'm just not talking figment of my imagination. I would have lost my mind. But here I am in this bubble of peace. And everyone that's in anxiety that is a believer, that peace is right there available for them if they learn to tap into it by faith. They can tap into it by faith. Oh, now it's making more sense, isn't it? How about the joy of the Lord that is your strength? That's not natural. There's times I shouldn't be laughing, but I am. This is going on, that's going on, this is happening, that's happening. You just laugh because you know how it's going to turn out. Anybody getting it now? There are spiritual weapons. Remember the Bible talks about take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's not something you got to go home to, or go home, you know, go to the armor store and go get a sword or something. That's in the spirit realm. And the Bible says you use it with your mouth. Use it with your mouth. You declare the Word of God, and it deals with spiritual beings opposing you in the spirit realm. Oh, I'm getting happy. There are all sorts of numerous anointings, spiritual gifts, spiritual commodities, these peace and joy and these things. These are spiritual commodities. There's all sorts of, spiritual gifts and spiritual equipment, spiritual armor. There's anointings and mantles. There are weapons, like I just said. There's these spiritual forces called faith, peace, and love. Hallelujah, the armor of God. Amen. Now, every one of these are spiritual. Isn't that right? But they're given to you by God to access, and Jesus is the door into all of these things. And so that's what salvation includes, this whole package deal. It's not just, you know, I get a ticket to heaven whenever I die. There's heaven. Have you ever read the Bible? Days of heaven down here on earth. I mean, whenever you should be losing your mind, but you're just sleeping like a baby and you got peace, that's days of heaven down here on the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. When we've watched people lose their jobs and they come to church giddy. Because this peace and this joy has given them the assurance everything going to be all right. Everything going to be all right. That's not normal. When I say normal, I mean in the natural realm. That's not normal. Normal is anxiety. Normal is fear. Normal is uncertainty about the future. But because of their faith and tapping into peace, love, and joy, and all these spiritual forces in the spiritual realm, they're a different person. And people, they're a wonder to other people. I believe in living supernaturally. Don't you believe in living supernaturally? Not just in my natural ability, but supernaturally. Well, does that make more sense then? And so this realm is the homeland of every believer, and you can tap into all the blessings of God there. Jesus opened the door for all these things to be ours. And so many other things. But these things in this realm exist and are more real. I tell you, the more I walk by faith, they get more and more real. The peace of God is more real to me today than ever in my life, because my faith has grown more than it ever has in my life. Faith in God does not just mean faith to go to heaven whenever you die. It means faith to have all that the Bible said is available down here. Hallelujah. Now, are we on the same page now? It should be natural for you to operate in the supernatural realm. Does that make sense? I mean, it should be natural for you to operate in the supernatural realm. It should be as natural for you to operate in the supernatural as it is for a bird to fly in the air and a fish to swim in the water.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just normal to a fish to swim in the water. Just normal for a bird to take off. I mean, it's not normal for me to jump out of a tree and fly. I proved that one time. It's normal that I can, pom, down. But a bird thinks nothing of pushing off from that branch and, it's normal. Amen. And for you, the supernatural is normal. For you, all these commodities, all these things that protect you and that are your assistance for this life, they're all natural. Amen. So living in the Spirit is what the call of God is to our life. What my desire is for you individually, also for this church, it's the desire of the Spirit of God, is for you to find this place called in the Spirit. you to locate it, you to experience it, you to go there regularly. And you decide to not just be a visitor now and then, but to actually make it a lifestyle to live. Live in the Spirit.
Amen.
I found you don't have to wait until something bad comes up to already have all the resources working for you. You don't have to have it come up. You can just deal with it before, because you're in the Spirit and you see it coming and you go, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because in the Spirit, you're in there in a realm where there's no time. You know, time is a part of the natural realm. It's not a part of the spiritual realm. So you get in fellowship with God in the spirit realm, and God can show you something that's coming. The devil has a plan or a trap, and he can show it to you, and you go, ha, ha, ha. Because he said he would show you things to come. And you deal with it before it arises. You have the answer before the devil even brought up the question. You ever read the Bible? Before you call, I'll answer. That's called somebody that walks in the Spirit. And so that's my desire. That's the desire of God for you, is that you individually and also this congregation, you find this place called in the Spirit. And you take advantage of it. I mean to the max. To the max. Tell your neighbor, to the max. Hallelujah. Life conducted from that place will be far superior to any life you've ever lived. Amen. In fact, you learn to live out of that realm, and you'll find yourself, you'll look back on the way you were living, and you'll say, that wasn't life at all. So, are we still there? God wants to move us further into this realm. Amen. First key to it is knowing about it. Knowing what's available there. Second thing is we must be hungry for it, individually and as a congregation. Third is we must be united as a congregation if we're going to go there together. Fourth, faith is a big key to taking advantage of everything that's there. Amen. Whenever you got born again, that is only the doorway into great experiences in God. That is a great experience, and it's the doorway into everything else, because Jesus gave us access to the new birth. But here's the thing. That should not be the last spiritual experience we have. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a great experience, but that should not be the last spiritual experience we have. God has a lifetime of spiritual experiences. Amen. Ready and waiting on those who choose to walk with Him in this place called in the Spirit. Hallelujah. And the thing I love about the spirit realm, it's always fresh and new. It's never old, boring, humdrum, mundane, you know, routine. It's always fresh and alive and new. I mean, it is actually the place, the realm of beginnings. It's always putting forth something new and something fresh. God Himself I don't want to say new every morning. He's always refreshing every morning. It's like you never even fellowshiped with Him. It's so good to be with Him in His presence. If your prayer life is boring, dry, humdrum, you know, you're not getting in the Spirit. You're not getting in the Spirit. Because once you get there, it's always... It's life, it's joy, it's peace, it's answers, it's refreshing, it's everything you need. Amen. God has a lifetime of divine encounters, put it that way. Amen. With God, the living God, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and His work, and His move, He has a lifetime of encounters with God. And those encounters are in the Spirit. Amen. These encounters are glorious, transformational, and life-giving. Hallelujah. Are you still there? These things in the spirit realm are what is laid up for you and I as believers. You ever read 1 Corinthians 2:9? I think you have, but maybe you don't remember the actual verse. 1 Corinthians 2:9 talks about he's talking about the... things that God has prepared for them that love him. The things that God has prepared for them that love him. The Amplified says prepared and keeps ready. Like my mom, whenever we were on the farm, sometimes we get in late for dinner. She kept it ready. She prepared it. We weren't there yet, so she kept it ready. And there's a realm in the spirit realm and many blessings in the spirit realm prepared and kept ready for you as God's child.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They're prepared and kept ready. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says you and I are to start looking at them. We don't look at the things that are seen, but we do look. We do look at the things which are not seen. Amen. These things are laid up in the spirit realm. They're not things that are visible in the natural realm, but whenever what is there in the spirit realm is tapped into, it'll affect the natural realm. Amen. Now, there's only one book in the world that tells you all about that realm. I know there are people that are whatever, I don't know what they call themselves, witches or what all that, and they'll tell you about the spirit realm. It's a lie. It's a lie. Because they're in contact with devils and demons, and the devil is a liar, the Bible says. Yeah, it's a lie. There's only one book that is the truth about the spirit realm, and it will also tell you about the devil's realm, but it'll tell you the truth about the devil's realm. I said, it'll tell you the truth about the devil's realm. I said, it'll tell you the truth, not a lie. And so what we must do then is, since the Word of God is the, let's put it this way, since the invisible realm is not seen, I know that's saying the same thing, but since this spirit realm is not seen, then we need a map. We need to know what's there. We need something from that realm, you know what I'm talking about, because we can't see it with our natural eye. We need something that will assist us and reveal that realm to us. You understand? We need a tutor. We need somebody to guide us, because it's not something we're familiar with. When we first get saved, we start learning, you know, but we learn more and more, and it's going to be eternity. It's going to take eternity to capture all that's in that realm. So we have the written Word of God that shows us what's in that realm. We also have the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send you another comforter, and that's the Holy Spirit. And he's here as a tutor to show us in that realm, what's in that realm, and guide us into the things that are in that realm, because they are our inheritance. Amen. And the Word of God, he'll do everything the Word and the Spirit agree. He'll move in line with the Word of God. He'll not move outside of the Word of God. And he is the one who will reveal to us what's in the spirit realm that we can't see with our physical eyes. Amen. As we follow this unseen tutor into the unseen realm, we become more proficient at manifesting the blessings that are there. The wisdom that is there. How many of you know that's a blessing? That is, Bible said Jesus made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification. Wisdom is available to us, not just, you know, mama said wisdom. Now, she might have got something from God. You know, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to throw everything away mama said. But there's wisdom that is beyond just natural human wisdom. That's true about raising children, true about parents and marriage, people that are married and getting along, and there's wisdom to prosper financially. Divine insight. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And so the more we learn to follow the tutor and get our minds renewed with the Word, the more we'll manifest the blessings and the power that are in that realm, into this natural realm. Hallelujah. And then it'll be what the Bible calls days of heaven on earth. Because heaven, what's in heaven's realm, is working in our realm. This is so clear. I don't know if you're seeing it as clear as I'm seeing it. Everybody say, I'm getting this. That's what I mean whenever I started saying, Jesus said, I am the door. He's the door into all these things. You come through Jesus to get into all these things. And so he came out of that realm into this realm and showed us how to live in this realm, making use of the resources in the spiritual realm. That's what Jesus was doing for three and a half years down here. He was showing us how to live with the resources of heaven's realm. And then after he showed us how to live supernaturally, Jesus didn't just live naturally. He lived supernaturally. I mean, when the storm came up, peace be still. And it stopped. I mean, whoa. Somebody said that was Jesus. He could do that. Well, remember what he said in Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say to this mountain. Not just Jesus, whosoever. Poke your neighbor and say, get away because you're a whosoever. Whosoever. So he showed us how to live in this realm. Jesus was God's firstborn, God's redeeming son, but he is also God's sample son. In other words, he's the sample of how all of us are to live down here. As he is, so are we in this world. Somebody said, now you know you can't talk to things like wind and waves and they obey you. Well, let me tell you a testimony. Down in Tulsa one time, there was a tornado coming through. And I spoke to it, and it went around. I was cleaning air ducts. I had a job cleaning air ducts for a guy one time, and I was out in his cleaning his house, and we were out in the driveway, and I saw he lived in a kind of a wooded, hilly area, and I saw a path down through the woods of just mangled trees and everything, and you know, you pretty much in Tulsa know what that means. That was the tornado came down. He said, and it's a path right towards the, I'm standing on his driveway, and it's a path right toward his driveway. Right, the driveway's right beside the house. Path right toward the house. And so I was talking to him a little bit, and I said, did a tornado come through here? And he said, yeah. He said, it started coming down through here. And he said, you notice right there it stopped and it disappeared? He said, that's whenever I spoke to it. And it jumped over his house and went down and went over there and kept on going, blowing stuff up over there. Amen. Now, you know that isn't going to work. No, not for you, doubter. That's the power that's available in the unseen realm. But people of unbelief will never tap into it. Now, you say, I don't know how to do that. Well, just keep on coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. So Jesus came into this realm. He showed us how to live in this realm by the supernatural, tapping into the resources of the unseen realm. But then he went back again after he paid the price for our redemption. He shed his blood. Then he went back again into that realm and he said, I'm the door. In other words, okay, now you can come through me and come into everything the way I lived down here when I was down here. That's an example of how you're to live. And you're to live supernaturally just like I live supernaturally. By the power of God. Jesus worked miracles. He healed and provided for people. Amen. These are things that are not authored by the seen realm. These are things authored by the unseen realm. Hallelujah. I'm having a good service. I trust you're having a good service. When Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves and said, peace be still, that was a most unusual response. No natural man had ever thought to do that. You know why? Because that thought didn't come out of the natural. It didn't come out of the natural mind. It came from somewhere else than natural. Besides Adam, no man had ever thought to do that. That's longer than I have time to explain, but amen. But where did he get that thought? He got it in the Spirit. He got it in the Spirit. Say, in the Spirit. In the Spirit. Tell your neighbor there's answers in the Spirit. There's witty inventions. There's things you never thought about before in the Spirit. Hallelujah. There's creative ideas. There's things that God will impart to your spirit in a time of prayer in his presence that you couldn't have figured that out for 100 years. And when you go out and act on it, it is divinely granted wisdom that confounds everybody that sees it working for you. And they say, how did you get into this? And you just say, it was the wisdom of God. We've had people do that with our daycare. We've had people come in mad because the daycare they work at is going under financially, and they're mad at us because we're thriving in our daycare. Y'all mad? Where'd we get the idea to do it and the way to do it and all the arrangements, everything? It was a divine idea. And remember I told you, 8 hours of prayer before we came here, the Lord said, I want you to take some time and pray. 8 hours. Normally, he doesn't tell me how long, but in that case, he did. And I did. And all the vision that we're walking out today came, and that daycare was a part of it. Hallelujah. I probably shouldn't figure up for our 10-year daycare anniversary how much that daycare has put into the church. People, resources. It's absolutely astounding. Hallelujah. One direction of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 All the staff better say hallelujah. It's helping pay your salaries. Amen. You getting anything out of this? And so when that thought came to Jesus about speaking, you know, to that wind and waves, that didn't come out of his natural mind. That came out of the Spirit. Now, the Bible said, my ways, this is Isaiah 55, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. But he didn't finish that verse out and say, and so therefore you can never think my thoughts. No, he said, as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, so comes my word. In other words, basically, my thoughts are in my words, and I'll give you my thoughts if you'll meditate on my word, and I'll show you what to think and how to do this. Hallelujah. They're higher. There are higher thoughts in the spirit realm than there are in your mind. And God invites you to come up. Come up. Remember that? Remember Revelation 4, 1 and 2? There was a door open, and there came a summons. Come up hither. Come up, up. He didn't say down. Up, up. There's a higher realm of wisdom, creative ideas, and of operating in every arena of your life. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Above your thoughts, into my thoughts. I know when I first started hearing about tithing and giving, I thought, that's certainly not my thoughts. My thoughts were get all you can all you get, sit on the can. That won't work. That won't work, God. Giving away this money, the 10% and all that won't work. I'll have less if I give it away. God said, it's a higher way. It's a higher way. That wasn't my thought. You know, people accuse preachers of talking about money. It wasn't our thought. It was his thought. Oh, I'm having a good time. Praise the Lord. Now, here's something. We'll wrap this up. Jesus had these things, had circumstances come against him. He had problems come against him. You know what I mean by that? Surrounding him, tests and trials and things in life, just like you and I do. And he had opportunity because of all these things to get into fear, doubt, failure, to not receive from God and all of that. So, but the thing about him was he always had the answer for it all. People think Jesus didn't have any tests or trials. Well, if Jesus just understood what I was going through, the Bible said he's been here in the flesh and he knows what we're going through. Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about it. He knows about it. He's been here. He knows what it's like to be tempted to doubt, tempted to fear. You think there was no demon standing there when that wind and wave was blowing in that ship and he woke up saying, you're going to sink, you're going to die, you're not going to fulfill the plan of the Father? Yeah. I'm sure there was one there. The Bible said he was tempted in all points like as we are. And it stands there with you and I, doesn't it? Yakety yak, 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 yak. Well, he didn't give in to it. He had the answer. He rebuked it. Hallelujah. And so Jesus always had the answer, and he got the answer out of the unseen realm, and that's what made Jesus different. But here's the point. Redemption is all about giving us access to live that way as well. I don't mean we're the Son of God. I don't mean we're the Redeemer, heaven forbid. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the way Jesus lived. Someone said he was God, and he was down here, and you're not. Exactly right. But if you read your Bible carefully, Philippians says in the second chapter, I believe, second or third, he laid aside his mighty power and glory, and he operated as a man anointed by the Holy Ghost. He was God and man all at the same time, but down here on this earth, he did not operate as God. He operated as man. He was God, but he had, somebody said, well, of course he operated as God. Okay, well, for the first 30 years, why didn't he do any miracles? He didn't. Movies will say, you know, they'll show, I saw a movie one time, 12 years old, Jesus, this is depicting Jesus in the movie, Jesus took a rock and threw it up in the air and it became a bird. That's not reality. When he turned the water into wine, after he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, that the Bible said, this beginning of miracles, this is the first miracle Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory. Well, why? Wasn't he the Son of God from zero to up to 30? Sure he was. Why weren't any miracles happening? He wasn't operating as God. He's operating as a man. Otherwise, how could he say in the 14th chapter of John, the works that I do shall you do also? He was God. We're not. We all agree on that. If he's God and we're not, and he's doing what he did because he's God, then we'll never do the works that he did or the miracles that he did because we ain't God. Poke your neighbor and say, you're not God, and I know it. Amen. But he said, the works I do shall you do also. How did he do what he did? This is different this morning. I'm having a good time. How did he? I'm wrapping up. I'm beginning to wrap up. I better rephrase that. How did he do what he did? By his sovereign power? Because he's God? Well, then why didn't he do it for the first 30 years? He did, and none of it started until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost of the River Jordan and the power of God came on him. That's when it all started. That's when it all started. Isn't that right? The way he did what he did is the way we are going to do what we do. If we're going to do the works that he did, we're going to do them the way he did. By the power of God. By the power of God on us. And the same spirit that was on him is on us. Maybe different measure, of course. Maybe you understand. But the anointing, the Holy Spirit, is the same one working through us that worked through him.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You read the book of Acts. It talks about the first few verses, the former treatise, O Theophilus, have I made of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And now he's writing Acts of what he's continuing to do and to teach. Amen. Through men. Yes. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. It's really the Acts of the Holy Ghost. Because there's people in there used that were not apostles. Acts of the Holy Ghost. Still doing what he was doing through Jesus in the earth today through men anointed of the Holy Ghost. And I could prove that so many more ways, but anyway. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's what redemption is all about. Jesus went to the Father. He made the way for us to live like he did, to go through him, and to take advantage of the resources of the supernatural realm. And my desire for you is that you find that place, you begin to operate in that place, take advantage of all the resources that are there, follow the tutor, follow the guide, follow the word, follow the map, and just have the best life possible down here. Just thrive and enjoy life down here with all the blessings of God. Did you get anything out of all of that? I intended to go so much further, but I'll just say this. The church world is, this subject of in the Spirit, which we've barely even touched on yet. This subject of in the Spirit is a landmark doctrine. Remember we talked about landmarks from the book of Proverbs? This is a landmark doctrine in the church today. The doctrine of being in the Spirit became a standard from the days of Pentecost. The church lost a lot of that, but I'm talking about even the Pentecostal revival in 1903, was it? 1907, whenever. And that's a standard for the church to hold today. Many in the church world are falling away from what I'm talking about. They're putting their faith in fleshly efforts. Spirit of Faith Family Church is going to stand and hold the standard and say, this is the standard for New Testament believers called in the Spirit. In the Spirit, all through the New Testament. We pray in the Spirit. We worship in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit. We watch in the Spirit. All these things, the New Testament. That's the standard of the New Testament believer. We're constantly filled with the Spirit. Amen. And so we're going to close with that, but there's more to come. God's going to have His way on the earth. If these other people are going to move away from it, God will have His standard on the earth, because He's not coming for a defeated church living in the natural. He's coming for a glorious church. He's going to have what He planned down here. He's going to have the harvest. He's going to have the rain. He's going to have the outpouring of the Spirit, miracles, signs, wonders. And then whenever it's all done, we'll get out of here.